In the holy name of Jesus, amen. In Lent, we spend a bit of time talking about battles. We started in the wilderness where Jesus and Satan squared off. Jesus overcame Satan's assaults and temptations, and Satan was beaten with God's word. Then we talked about battles with God. But it's not as if God is our enemy, but rather God tests Christians that they might grow in their reliance upon him. Now we're here where the trifecta meet: Jesus, Satan, us. Who's the battle between? Are we safe? Who wins the battle? And are there any other battles left to fight? Who shares the spoils of victory? Now, spiritual warfare was certainly a concern in Jesus' day. It seemed as if the demons were especially active in Jesus' day, as if they were stirred up by their reign in the kingdom of God that was brought in Jesus. And in our text today, Jesus cast out a demon from a mute man so that his tongue may be loosed to confess his own sin and to confess his Savior. Not understanding under what authority Jesus performed this exorcism, some from the crowds claimed that Jesus was doing Satan's work. They said, "He casts out demons by Beelzebul, the prince of demons." And others didn't know what to think. And so they demanded more signs from Jesus, as if the casting out of the demon wasn't enough. And Jesus quickly rebuked the crowd's divisive thinking by pointing out the folly in their own reasoning. Every kingdom divided against itself is laid waste, and a divided kingdom falls. Essentially, Jesus says, if I worked for Satan, why do I seek to destroy his kingdom? Why do I seek to destroy his reign? Why do I heal diseases, forgive sins, and do everything to destroy Satan and the effects of his kingdom? Since it's unreasonable to conclude that Jesus works for Satan, the only other alternative is that the kingdom of God actually does come through Jesus. And the reasonable conclusion is that these folks were watching God battle Satan in front of their very eyes. They were seeing the kingdom of God at work as God set the captives free. Specifically, this mute man, whose mouth is now free to confess his sins and confess his God. Then in our text, Jesus explains the battle that ensues. He labels Satan as the strong man. He labels himself as the stronger man. And he labels baptized Christians as the proverbial house or palace. And the battle goes as this. Before baptism, the house of an individual's heart is evil. Jesus said it in Matthew 15, that out of the heart comes not goodness or morally neutral things, but evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false witness, slander. In other words, out of the heart comes evil. But Jesus invades Satan's palace of man's heart. And Satan tries to protect his palace, but it's useless. Satan is powerless compared to the stronger man, Jesus. So Jesus overcomes Satan and casts him out. He takes away Satan's weapons and armor and spoils of victory, that is death, sinful desires, covetousness, greed, adultery, idolatry, and the list goes on. And he disarms Satan of anything to which he can cling to for hope. He even beats Satan using his own weapons of death. You see, Satan loves death. He wants to lead you there because he thinks his work is done there. That's what he thought about Jesus. He thought he won the battle when Jesus was lifted up upon the cross. He thought his worries were over when Jesus was convicted as a sinner deserving death. He thought Jesus on the cross was the end of his ministry. He couldn't cast out demons if he lost his strength. He couldn't forgive people if there's no breath to say the words. He couldn't heal people if he couldn't reach out to touch them. He couldn't be God if he was dead. Yet Jesus is the stronger man. And the stronger man plundered the strong man. And through Jesus' innocent death, Satan is defeated. His armor is taken away. His spoils of accusing sinners are dispersed. And Jesus takes away Satan's weapon of death. In baptism, Jesus shares the spoils of victory with us. He gives us his death and his victory over death. He makes us dead to sin and alive to God. Christ puts the spoils of victory, of his victory, on us when we receive him in baptism. And he occupies the palace of our hearts. Actually, you all witnessed spiritual warfare happen this morning with the baptism of Caitlin. In the baptismal liturgy, there was a non-dramatic, if you will, exorcism. I said, "Depart, you unclean spirit, and make room for the Holy Spirit." And that shows what we believe in baptism, that Satan is cast out of a sinful heart, and God fills it. Thus, he bestows the weapons to fight true spiritual battle. Caitlin is now ready and armed with God's name. Because she's not occupied with unclean spirits, but with the Holy Spirit. And so are we. All of you who've been baptized have God's name on you. And although Satan is cast out of your hearts, that doesn't mean that a Christian should simply say, "Thanks, Jesus, thanks for tidying up my soul and giving me your win, but I think I got it from here." This kind of Christian is easy prey for Satan. He's easy to pick off because the Holy Spirit won't stay around where not fed by the Word of God and the sacraments he gives. This kind of Christian's got no convictions. He has no depth of trust in God. He's like a seed who grows up amongst the thorns and gets choked out by the worldly pleasures and cares and dies. He has no hunger or thirst for God's word. He only hungers and thirsts for evil and rebellion against the word of God. And he may not even realize it, because his conscience has been seared against the goodness of God and willingly embraced the palace of evil. It won't take long until Satan comes back and takes over his unoccupied house. This kind of Christian seeks to put the resurrected Christ back into the grave, which is exactly what Satan wants to do. Now, Jesus has defeated Satan on the cross, but now the battle is over your heart. And Satan still battles hard through the world and our sinful flesh to reoccupy what he's lost. Only if we'd cooperate with him. If you have ever read the C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters, then you understand that Satan is tactical in his approach. He convinces you of half-truths and small lies until they grow into rejection of truth altogether. He convinces you that demons aren't real, or that if they are, then they really aren't a part of my daily experience, and so they can just be ignored. One of Satan's favorite tricks is to allow your sins to gather dust in the corner. Sort of how, like the crowds, didn't necessarily rejoice at Jesus' casting out of the demon from this mute man. Instead of the rejoicing at the defeat of evil, they accused Jesus of being evil. To me, that shows that the crowd who accused Jesus were just fine with that man's sin and destruction by Satan, gathering dust in the corner. They sort of just got used to it. And that sort of mentality can lure Christians into a false sense of security, because Satan convinces Christians that the spiritual forces that occupy the heart don't really matter. In this way, Satan will numb folks' conscience to their habitual sins to the point that our sins are either being ignored or gathering dust in the corner. Or we get duped into believing that my sins can coexist with a sinless God. Now we should be aware of the spiritual warfare that wages on, but we shouldn't be afraid. We shouldn't fear, for perfect love casts out fear. Put on the full armor of God, that you may stand against the schemes of the devil. Submit yourselves to God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. To submit ourselves to God is not taking the battle with Satan into our own hands. Submission to God is living in the victory Christ has already won for you. And so we rest each Sunday as we receive the blessing of God and hear and keep his word. For Jesus promised, "Blessed are those who hear the word of God and keep it." We become blessed by the word of God whenever we react appropriately to it with amens. When we confess our sins and receive the forgiveness of our sin. When we confess the work of God with praise and thanksgiving, sung with the whole body of believers in church, where the sacrament of Christ's body and blood are given, that he may occupy your heart. Christians don't despise hearing God's word. Rather, we're blessed by it. Because it's living and active, sharper than any two-edged sword. It pierces through body and soul. It is the sword of the Spirit, which goes to work on our evil foe. This is the weapon that Christ, the one who occupies the palace of our hearts, uses in warfare against the evil one. So do what Satan hates. Hear the word of God and keep it. May God cause your mouth to confess your sins and your God. Then the house of your heart will always be occupied with the Holy Spirit, who is sent by the Father and the Son to bring the spoils of victory from the cross and the grave to you. In the holy name of Jesus, amen.